This morning from the second epistle of St. Peter, chapter 3, just one verse. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The only time I think any of us ever come in contact with that little verse is when a discussion comes up about whether or not the world was created in 7 days or some other time frame. And this particular verse illustrates that it's entirely possible that time for God is much more elastic than it is for us. If a day can be like 1,000 years, well, a day times 7 can be like 5 billion in some sense. So at least for that. But it illustrates, I think, a larger point that with respect to time, it has less to do with how much of it you have than what you do with it, which seems like a useful sentiment for the first Sunday of the new year. So in that spirit, I consulted some of the places I go for sermon research, most notably Sports Illustrated magazine, which a couple of weeks ago had an essay by a columnist named Steve Rushen called On Time, an excerpt or two. It flies and it drags. It's precious and it's wasted. It's on my side and it's passing me by. We have too much of it on our hands and not enough of it in the day. It's endless and it runs out. It's a gift and it's a thief. It heals all wounds and we have to kill it. Time is a shapeshifter. Time can't keep its story straight. The Kentucky Derby is the fastest 2 minutes in sports. And a 2-minute penalty kill in the Stanley Cup playoffs lasts a century, but time claims they're both 120 seconds. In sports, the less time you have, the more time you have. What constitutes plenty of time is always getting shorter. 3 seconds in the lane is too long, and 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu is even longer. Coaches and athletes treat the clock with contempt. They milk it, kill it, eat it, beat it, and generally run it down. The clock repays that abuse with dishonesty, but then the clock could never be trusted. For kids, whole summers whoosh by in a blur, while the final 5 minutes before school dismissal lasts an entire geological epoch. The great philosophers Friedrich Nietzsche, Rust Cole claim that time is a flat circle, when in fact time is the elastic waistband on your pants. An infinite loop that expands and contracts to accommodate your personal circumstances. To parents of young children, the nights are long and the years are short. 4 hours on the golf course do not pass at the same rate for the man who's shooting 65 and the man who's mowing the range in a dimpled yellow hailstorm. Yes, time flies, but time also lies. We're told that time waits for no man, and we're told that time stands still. Which is it? Perhaps time will tell, for who will believe it? For time has lost all credibility, and some more, but I'll get to it in a minute. It's a paradox. It seems that time does fly, depending on what you're doing, and time crawls, depending on what you're enduring. So it strikes me, if a day is 1,000 years, what could we do with a day, or even a time much shorter than a day? The ratio of 1 day to 1,000 years is exactly the same as 1 second to about 2.5 days. What could you do with even 1 second of time? Is it enough? Will it fly? Will it drag? 1 second, one Mississippi. Well, it strikes me that it only takes a second for a miracle to happen. A miracle that, well, let me put it to you this way. Have you ever had something just occur to you and it was exactly what you needed to know at that particular moment? You suddenly had an insight and suddenly your whole outlook on life had changed. Maybe it was the 7% solution to something or an idea that caused you to think about something in an entirely new way. A flash of insight, 1 second. is just enough time to change yourself. I was reading another book this week about the power of insight. Maybe some of you have seen this puzzle. It's a puzzle of 9 dots, and the direction that's given to solve the puzzle is to try to connect them, to try to connect 9 dots with the minimum amount of straight lines. Now, anybody can connect these 9 dots with 5 straight lines. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No problem. But can you connect them with 4? Is the puzzle. Well, you can if you have a flash of insight. Nobody said you had to connect the 9 dots without going outside the lines. You can start here and go 1, 2, 3, 4. But you have to, as it were, think outside the box. Some have suggested that this puzzle is the source of that piece of wisdom. An insight. You don't have to color within the lines. At least maybe not now. At least maybe not when you need something new. A flash of insight. 1 second is all it takes. Where does that come from? There's a great hymn called Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And it's set to the tune of, I forget which country's national anthem, but nonetheless, there's a line in it that says, grant us courage, which we need for guidance, but grant us courage and grant us wisdom. Neither of which, if those prayers are answered, depend on what the circumstance is. For wisdom and courage will see us through, to, and beyond any circumstance. Pray for wisdom in the course of your prayers. And see if, at some point in this year, in 1 second, something doesn't occur to you that changes things in a dramatic way. 1 second. Pray for wisdom and an insight. Or 2 seconds, maybe the next second. How to change the world and yourself just a little bit. How long does it take to crack a smile? 1,001. One Mississippi. Can you force a smile? Sure. You see kids do that at picture time, you know, cheesing it. But it doesn't really come across as genuine. A smile is usually the result of an impulse. And when it happens, suddenly things change. They change for the better. And it only takes 1 second. Now, because you can't force a smile doesn't mean you can't generate the circumstances within which it is inevitable. It certainly isn't true that every second you hang around kids, they crack a smile or you crack one with them. But I can't think of a more obvious place where it is more likely to happen, just hanging around kids. Lily was building a snowman this last week, and it's a lesson that's taken me a long time to learn, that people don't need my help unless they ask for it. And sometimes I intrude. You've been on that train too there, man? Yeah. It's not required for you to solve this right now. Okay. So I'm watching Lily struggle with the charcoal on, you know, for the buttons on the snowman. And she says, wouldn't you think that if you saw someone who needed help, you'd help them? And I thought, even when this child is rude, she's cute. It took a second to light me up, you know. That's what kids do. Now, we're not around kids all the time. So as a strategy for spending 1 second this year when at least the likelihood is there that you might experience the emotion of a smile. Next time you're at the mall, just go to where the kids' play area is and watch them for a minute or two. Sooner or later, some kid will do something weird that'll light you up. And that's all it takes to change your life. Light yourself up with a smile. Or, you know, you might do something for someone else on the sly. You know, I mean, it's sort of a prank turned inside out so that you know that at some point during that day they will find something you did and they'll think of you and smile. I mean, it's the logic behind the note in the lunchbox that nobody expects. And you'll know when it happens, maybe. And you'll smile together. Or if you really have to force it, tell a joke or listen to one. Now, there's a lot of jokes that are really, really funny. And there are a lot of jokes that you can tell in church. And the overlap is not that great. But I thought of one. If you're really struggling to find a smile, there is, at the end of January, right around the first part of February, there's this strange convergence of liturgical events across Christendom. In other words, all Christians more or less come to focus on the same thing, and it's not Christmas. It's a month or so after Christmas. For Catholics, it is the festival of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin. Probably haven't heard of that, but it's a whiz-bang festival if you're Catholic. For Episcopalians and Lutherans, it's the presentation of our Lord at the temple. Kind of a whiz-bang thing. For Presbyterians and Disciples of Christ, Groundhog Day. We're all celebrating something, right? A smile. 1 second, 2 seconds, an insight, a smile. It can change the world. It can change your life. That's all it takes. I want to talk about the third second. The title of this whole deal is 3 seconds. An insight, a smile, and an observation. Now, this involves some homework. Sometime during the next year, pay attention to the weather forecast that predicts the next morning to be clear and bright. Wake up before sunrise. Drive to the top of the Cap Rock. Maybe Maureen's parking lot. I don't know, someplace there. And get there in time to watch the first second of the sunrise, just as the arc of the sun pops over the horizon that you can see from the top of the Cap Rock. Quietly absorb the immeasurable power and reality that a new day has begun. You can't get back what happened the day before, no matter how good or bad it was. That first second of one sunrise will enable you not only to see the rising of the sun, but the power of the Son of God that brings you this next moment of endless possibility. 3 seconds. Let me give you some perspective. In 1 year, there are 31,622,400 seconds. There are 86,400 extra seconds in 2016 because we have February 29th. We have already spent, as of noon today, we will have already spent 216,000 seconds. But to finish Steve Rushen's insight, where did the time go? When truth is, time stays and we will pass. But fear not. If Aaron Rodgers has taught us anything, it's this. Right until the very end, you still have plenty of time. You have 3 seconds. An insight, a smile, an observation. 3 seconds to change yourself, to change your life, to change our world. Amen.